Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Owned.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
We are on AM 950, Sundays at 2 p.m. and all podcast platforms. So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Well, Brian's curious about a lot of things because he's not in studio. So we're going to all give a little hello, Mr. Brian, from afar. So today, my co-host is the amazing, the powerful Holly Bussey. Hello, Holly. How are you?
Hi, Kelly. I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, the studio was like crazy. We were dropping computers. And we're trying to do all these different videos, and people watching on Facebook Live, they're probably already laughing at us. So please buckle up and get ready for a beautiful show. Okay, today we have Amy Gillespie Docherty. Did I say it right? Yes! Oh my gosh! Yes. Pre-interview, I was like, Amy, I'm
this
gonna
is how you say yay,
yay
in sign language.
Sign language. Yay. Yep. Yay. In the pre-interview, I was like, hey, Amy, I'm gonna slaughter your name. So I'm just letting you know. And Brian's not here to say everything properly. So, you know, this is awesome. Hi, Amy. What I'm gonna do is introduce you because, like, I'm gonna do formal introductions to you to the audience. So, Amy, you guys, is the founder of Irigenics Ancestral Eye Reading. And she created it as a survival skill program for teens and young adults in an effort to reduce self-destructive behaviors and suicide patterns. Wow, that's just like a heavy way to start the show. She's a results-driven innovator, speaker, and best-selling author with more than 20 years of experience creating impactful self-discovery, awareness, and life coaching programs. She believes the power of the ancestral pulse within us, oh my gosh, I love how that feels, mm-hmm. right? Guides us to become the best part of our best, along with being the founder of a nonprofit, Clara. Children's lives are the responsibility of all. She is the lead author of the Ancestors Within book series. And by the way, Holly and I have both read them. So, Amy, that was a long one. Everybody, sign language hands. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so blessed to have you today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited to be here back home to Minnesota. How fun.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a good show. Okay, so we kick off each show with Amy. What are you curious about today?
I'm curious about how many ways we can create an interactive experience with our ancestors.
Okay, tell me more about that. Because a lot of people think the ancestors are, you know, in the ground and then, you know, we can't do anything with it. But we really have so much that we can work with them. And what is it, like 14 generations back, then we're all connected?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay.
And we're carrying 11 generations within us. So anybody that, you know, 10 generations back had an interaction with somebody, saved somebody else's life, and we don't know anything about it. And we just happened to meet their great, 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 great grandchild at a restaurant and happen to be the person who saves them from choking or some crazy thing. But then as we start doing research, we find out that these were really actually an ancestral connection. And to me, that's kind of where the fun is at. That's where it all begins. That's where I light up.
Absolutely. So eyes are a big thing for you. What got you curious about, because we're going to talk about eyes, and I did her test, and actually Amy has read my eyes and done the full process on it, and it's actually quite mind-blowing. What started your curiosity with eyes? Like, because Irigenics is amazing, and I just want to let everyone know, it's irigenics.com, correct?
Correct.
Irigenics. The correct. Things you can get out of people's eyes is mind-blowing. Like, the other day I had my toes read, which was like fantastic. So, like, your body, and then we had Teresa Cover reading faces. Like, our bodies are telling us so much. It's like out in, like, hello, hello, and nobody's listening, or few are listening, and now we are listening. So, what got you curious about Irigenics and the study of the eye, and then how did you go through the training and knowing that, like, what's at noon and what speckles mean, and oh my gosh, like, la, 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 la. Okay, go.
There is a lot. There's a lot. So when I came back, I was doing survival skills training in Mozambique, Africa. And when I got back to the States, I wanted to continue working with kids. And I thought, well, what's threatening American kids? And it was really self-destructive behaviors and suicide patterns. And I was taking a class with a guy who was teaching about conscious language. But he had this program called Biooptic Holography, reading the seven layers of the eyes. And I thought, well, that is just the coolest thing I've ever seen. And so I got a reading with him and I was like, wow, that's neat. And so I started studying with him and I just thought there's something missing here. I don't know what it is, but it feels like there's something else I'm supposed to know. So I go to the next person who's working with behavioral iridology and how you can read the eyes for people's behavior patterns. You know, those people who say things like, oh, it's all my fault. Or, you know, I never win. You know, they kind of project some thoughts going on within. And as I got to him, I was like, but wait a minute. If our eyes don't really change very much from birth, and we have a marking in sibling rivalry with girls, but we're the oldest child, how does that work? Because we don't have any siblings. Then each time we get a sibling, do our eyes change? And then if a sibling dies, do they change back? It was like something just isn't adding up. And when I got to the fourth person who was working in eye reading, he was working with ancestors and birth order. And I was like, that's what's been missing. This was our ancestors' challenge with sibling rivalry with sisters or a female competitive environment. So if you've ever been in the salon and they're fighting over who's got the mousse or who's got the hairdryer, that's a female competitive environment, right? Where there's that kind of catty jealousy, also can be creative rivalry, also can be spiritual rivalry. You get a couple ministers going at it about their church practices and that kind of thing. And so that's really where it began. And as I began reading eyes and working with the Boys and Girls Clubs, we did our own study comparing the Strong Campbell interest assessments with the eyes, and it was over 95% accurate. If somebody had achievement rings in their eyes, one of their top five vocational skills on the assessment was achievement. And it just kept kind of growing and growing from there. And then as I was reading over the years, you know, sometimes I think, well, that looks like a baby, or well, that looks kind of like an old man in a hat or someone in a military uniform. Well, as I started reading more and more, people would say, well, don't you see that woman in my eye? Don't you see that man? And pretty soon I had people actually popping up photographs showing me that the ancestral images we were seeing in their eyes were actually ancestors that they had a photograph of. And that's when it started getting a little past the academic and maybe a little more into the woo-woo, but just more clues to chase down that rabbit hole.
Okay, Holly, go for it. I know you have like 10 questions. I can just see it.
Well, we like the woo-woo.
Yeah, we're all about the woo here.
I just, you know, with everything that's out there and with people trying to figure themselves out, you know, and why they do the things they do and why does this keep coming up for me? And you see people struggling because they are really working on things. But it's like it just continues and continues, and they get frustrated and fall back into old patterns because it's not working. But yet they're trying so hard. And so to have something like this that can explain, like, that's why. And when you finally get an answer or you finally get just that, the recognition of it, you start to heal. But if you just don't know, you just keep repeating the pattern. And so what I hear you saying is like, okay, we can break those patterns, you know, by giving you some of these answers.
Absolutely. So an example that I use very often is the pattern of not being heard, right? Now you can imagine a trauma. You have an ancestor who's in the war and they yell to their best friend, look out, and their friend doesn't hear them and they get blown up. Right. And so this, they didn't hear me. They didn't hear me. Why couldn't you hear me? This pattern gets started. Right. And as my husband and I were just talking about this last night, I said, you know, people can say, you never listen to me. Why can't you hear me? To the point of, I mean, people get shot over this kind of thing. Right. People get stabbed. Right. Fights get started. The next person will be like, they never listen to me. What's wrong with me? Why won't they hear me? Why don't they listen to me? And pretty soon they're in the suicide ward because it's their fault. Why can't anyone hear them? What's wrong with them? And the next person is like, oh, you know what? They never listen to me anyway. Let's just send them a text. And that's when you know the pattern's resolved. So Holly, you're absolutely correct. We're born with this wonderful treasure map in our eyes that will tell us some of the patterns of our ancestors to give us an opportunity to reevaluate and figure out if we can resolve some of them, because we have things our ancestors didn't, like cell phones.
Okay, so how do ancestors show up in our daily life?
Well, Holly kind of nailed it. You know, if you have a pattern that comes up over and over, it's probably ancestral. If it's bizarre, unique, weird, if it went on before age 8 to 10, it's ancestral. So, you know those people who were going ballistic during COVID over toilet paper? Remember the people?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So when you see someone going off, they're having an ancestral moment. So
they're still wearing masks, by the way.
Yeah. So let's reevaluate that one for just a second.
Yeah.
Let's imagine there was a grandmother and it's World War II and she needs stockings in order to get a job interview. And she goes to the store and there's no stockings. And it's in the time when you had to have a pair of stockings to get a job interview, right? You're not going to be a nurse if you don't have some kind of leggings on, whatever the case is. She can't get an interview. She just watched her neighbor, who will never wear a pair of stockings, buy all the stockings because she had the money to do it. So she can't get the job. She can't get the interview. It's a big frustration. But soon after, one of her kids gets sick and maybe one of her kids winds up in the hospital and maybe she even loses them. And the whole thing was about those stockings. Hmm. Now you come down four generations to a grandchild who knows nothing about this. And it's COVID and they go in the store and they see there's no toilet paper. And their instant reaction is the trigger's hit. Right? There's no toilet paper. Why can't I get toilet paper? Store after store after store, seeing someone else running around the store with a cart full of toilet paper. That's a simple kind of explanation of a repeat pattern. But remember, we're in 2022. We have Amazon, right? The trick is to first recognize it, take a deep breath and go, ancestral, and then say, what do I have that they didn't? They make escape rooms now. Gmail has an option for you to get your email back for like 4 seconds after you hit send, right? Anybody ever sent an email to somebody and gone, oh no, not copy everyone, right? You have this moment to get things back. And these are people who were fixing their own ancestral problems who created these things.
Well, and it's interesting that you say this. I was talking to someone the other day and my grandmother was a depression baby and she would bring her tinfoil collection and her bags to Hawaii. So like, right, there's always this fear and there's always this lack. So she's staying at the Four Seasons Kapalua, but she has her plastic bag and her tinfoil collection. Mm-hmm. And then watching my father, who, so my grandmother had that. I mean, she would send us birthday checks in thank you cards that she'd scratch out the front on like the address and rewrite it. And then you open the card and it was scratched out and then it would say happy birthday and then it would have a birthday check in it. And it was just like, it was so, right? But we all just kind of like giggled about it. And then now my father, who grew up with that mentality, he now likes a lot of stuff. Like lots of stuff. We're not going to use the H word because that's just that we're not there yet and we're on radio. Right. But like he likes a lot of stuff. And he, I know with his purchasing patterns, feels that safety and that security mm-hmm. and that he feels, he thinks he's filling himself up by having, if one of something's great, 10 of something is so much better. And he yeah. has this energetic feeling, this, but he's not, it's like a Band-Aid. It's from what you're saying, it's a Band-Aid. It's not actually looking at it. So now what I can do as the daughter of this is go through and help them clean this up, in air quotes, on it, watching it. Right. And going that there is abundance and we do have Amazon and there is enough and we don't need to have trailers full of right. stuff. And yeah.
But I think that's the great part about what you're doing, mm. Amy, is that you're allowing people to break those patterns
yeah.
so that the next generations don't have to continue. It takes that one person to stand up and say, OK, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And to find it and to do the work. And then that's you know, how the next generation and the generation after that, you know, can lead a healthy and good life.
What's interesting is that my father married my mother, who's a clean freak. So he has his abundance and he has his stuff. And then my mom is a clean freak. So it's this dance that they're constantly doing. Okay, you guys. Oh, my gosh. I'm so much calmer. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Holly. Thank you, Brett. Actually, Brett's our like tour guide. He's amazing and our fearless leader here on the show. We are going to wrap up segment one with Amy Gillespie Dougherty. Ha ha! Ancestors Within. She's got a summit coming on and we're going to tell you about it. Hey, it's Kelly from Being Curious with Kelly and Brian, AM 950. Don't forget your Edge magazine, edgemagazine.net. I don't tell you guys enough about it. It's pretty magical. Amy's a friend of the family too. Okay, on behalf of Kelly and Holly, we will see you at the next segment. Yes! And we're back. I played that long because Brett was giving me the eye like, you should know, you're in segment two. Hey guys, it's Kelly from Being Curious with Kelly and Brian, AM 950. I've got Holly Bussey in studio today. I've got Amy from, oh my gosh, Amy, you're from so many different things, but Irigenics, Ancestral Eye Reading. You are an author. You are an entrepreneur. You know, something I was going to jump right into the summit, but I want you to tell me more about Clara because I have this energetic feeling wrapped in around Clara, and that's children's lives are the responsibility of all. And it is a charity, a nonprofit that she is working with and founded. So before we start talking about your super cool summit that I can't wait to hear about, tell us about Clara.
That's actually Clara over my right shoulder there.
Of course it is.
She's she's my grandma. She's my adopted dad's mom. And I was in Africa, and as I was putting together a survival skills training program for kids, I needed a name. And there was just Clara. Children's lives are the responsibility of all. And that was really the mission, was that we have a duty to share the survival skills that we know, whether we recognize them as survival skills or not, with children so that they can grow up thriving, even if their parents aren't maybe there yet. You know, I mean, when you do campaigns like Stop, Drop, Roll, you don't teach the parents, you teach the kids. Yeah. When, you know, you talk about red light, yellow light, green light, it's to the children. You don't typically go to the adults. And I really found that in Mozambique, it was much, much easier to go direct to the children and teach them the first aid and the water safety and the sanitation skills, because the parents had lives that were just very, very busy and very, very complicated. And so the children had the time, they had the bandwidth, they had the interest. And so that's where Clara was founded. And it was all about giving children
a voice,
the skills to keep themselves and their brothers and sisters alive and to have those skills into adulthood.
Do you know what I miss? The Mr. Yuck stickers. Do you remember the? I don't know why that just showed up. The little green ones. Like my mom had them everywhere. And I was like, oop. And it was just such a cute little trigger where you just knew.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so simple.
Well, we got to keep it simple. That's Holly's mantra. And I try to overcomplicate everything. Like, that's just my mantra. And Holly's like, let's just keep it simple, Kelly.
I just can't. Otherwise, it just gives me cramps.
It's just simple. Life just very simple. Pain's a great motivator.
So talk to me about ancestral connection work with those who adopted. Because I think there's something powerful there. And I think our beautiful friends that have gone through the adoption process in our, not only our country, but our world, have a different frequency that they carry. And it's so unfortunate.
Yeah. So it's near and dear to my heart because I'm adopted. And as I listen to you explaining about your family dynamics, as I listen to you talking about your family dynamics, my interjection is, they would have those behaviors even if they didn't know their parents, even if they didn't grow up with them.
They would just be like looking around the room like, okay.
Yeah, right. So when it comes to epigenetics, you know, we're born, as we talked about, with these 11 generations within us. And so these behaviors, these patterns, the, you know, needing to have a whole bunch of things with us all at all times, or having a fear of spiders, or a fear of mice or a fear of running out of money or whatever it is, we're born with these. And so when we get adopted by a family, we get this great opportunity to rework those patterns in a new environment. Now, there's also a couple, as you said, there's also a couple aspects about being adopted that are kind of a natural standout. One is the story of your adoption, right? So if you knew from the beginning that you were adopted, then you grew up with this, well, okay, obviously there was something wrong with me, or I didn't fit into my family, or they didn't want me. I mean, there's whatever internal dynamics. And when I do ancestral eye readings, the in utero experience shows very, very clearly in the left and right eyes when the parents found out they were pregnant, if there were any traumas going on during the pregnancy. And so we're born with that kind of cellular memory, all of us, adopted or not. But when you're adopted, you've got this gift not only to, you know, have your own behaviors and work them out with a new family, with new dynamics, and get new tools. Let's say you had a family that was caught up in lack, but you grew up in a very wealthy home now. You get a college education that no one in your other family got. You get these new dynamics, but you also get to see your differences. So had I grown up with my gift for writing in a family full of writers, I would have just thought, oh, that's what they got. That's what I got. But you get kind of curious about it, right? Like, where did this come from? Who were these people? And as you may know from knowing my story a bit, Kelly, I met my genetic family as an adult. I met my birth mother when I was 19. We'd had the same job for the same company, sat at the same desk at least once, even though it was 3 hours from where either one of us grew up. And my birth father was into profiling fingerprints as I profile eyes. And again, I didn't meet him till I was 54. And almost every one of my cousins, almost every one of my first cousins followed a career, a vocation, right down to the college I was going to attend without ever knowing anything about me. And so those interests and those crossing of wires. But also what we get to say is that when I did my actual DNA testing and did my genealogy, I'm actually related to the Gillespies in 1170. So I was adopted by my own family 800 years later. And I think if we could really get in there in people's records, we would find that almost always there is some link between the genetic family and the adopted family somewhere back there.
What was it like meeting your mom at 19?
We met at the Registry Hotel. It's not the Registry anymore, but right down by the Mall of America.
Okay.
My band teacher was there in the lobby for who knows what reason. My elementary band teacher was there. She and I had been writing each other. We'd been talking and we'd arranged to meet. She was in Minneapolis for a job interview. And it was just that feeling of, oh my gosh, here's finally someone I look like. And that was actually a belief that my father had growing up. He always felt like he didn't look like his family, my genetic father, right, even though he looks just like them. But I repatterned it growing up in a house full of redheads and blondes. So it was really amazing going through those similarities, and even right down to the kind of clothes we were wearing that day were very, very similar.
That is so beautiful.
That is beautiful.
I actually have a friend that was adopted and he carried it, and he and his sister were adopted, and then his parents had a biological child of their own. So in the family, it was always joked, but it really wasn't a joke, that he was the chosen one, that the biological one was the chosen one.
Right.
And my dear friend really, really carried it, really, really, really deep. So one night, you know, just if everyone knows me and well enough, throw a couple cocktails in me and the honesty starts to flow. And I looked at him. And we were talking about the adoption process. And he was from, I think he was from Korea. So it was in the 70s. So, I mean, you can just imagine what his parents had to do to go obtain a child halfway around the world. Right. And I looked at him and I'm not going to say his name, but I was just like, hey, they chose you. Yeah. They had, you know, little intimate time and, you know, the chosen one or the third child came out. But they had to get on a plane and orchestrate, and they had to find you at an orphanage in the 70s and get you. And then all the paperwork and all the logistics. And it was so interesting because he'd carried such heavy baggage for so many years about being adopted. And it, in that moment, again, it could have been the cocktails, but it was melting away where he went from, I'm adopted, to I'm adopted. They chose me, right?
Yeah.
And I just, and he just starts crying, and it was just this beautiful, beautiful, lovely moment. And I think we need to have that discussion a little bit more because I just, I just, I don't know. And I'm rambling, and we should be talking about Irigenics and your summit and everything, but I think there's just something so powerful about adoption wherever you are in the world, but it's this, it is this opportunity. It is this gift. You get to be chosen.
It's so true. And let me help some parents understand just one more thing about that. So I spoke briefly about the in utero experience. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons that I went forward doing this work in ancestral eye reading was I was at a holistic expo and I met a Navy admiral, retired. And he was asking me about my work. And I was explaining about how the in utero experience imprints and how it's a cellular memory. And so he asked me to explain a little more. And I said, well, I said, I see this in military kids quite often when the baby was conceived just before active duty. Now, this isn't necessarily an adoption situation, but this is a situation of getting up in the morning and going, oh my gosh, are we pregnant? What if we're pregnant? I'm going on active duty. I thought you were handling the birth control. I can't be having a baby. I'm going to be on active duty. I need to know. In that moment, that baby is one cell, two cell, four cells, eight. It's on their cellular imprint. Uh-oh, they didn't want me. I'm not supposed to be here. And this is sometimes when we get to children who cannot hear I love you. They just cannot hear it, no matter how many ways we say it, no matter how many ways we go through bonding exercises. They just can't get it because their cellular memory is screaming, I wasn't wanted. And the problem is people don't have the rest of the story. They don't sit down and have this conversation with their kids and say, you know what, you're right. When we found out we were pregnant, we were like, yikes. But when we felt you kick, we fell in love with you. Mm-hmm. When you came out, we adored you. This retired admiral, the tears were running down his face, and he looked at me and he said, Amy, you have to continue this work. We went to therapy with our son for years. For years, and he could not hear I love you no matter what we did. And he said, I just heard it, Amy. We never had this conversation. It never came up. If it had come up one time, our son would be here. He killed himself.
Oh. I don't get goosebumps very often, but I have goosebumps everywhere. That is an amazing story. That I think we can all think of times, even if we did want to be pregnant, just think of times when you thought of something or you said something, oh, am I ready for this? Am I, you know, and yeah, you never really realize, you know, what impacts.
Oh, I was sick with both my pregnancies, and I was a bad word that I'm not allowed to say on air. I'm so proud of myself. I caught myself from saying the word because I was like, oh my gosh. I was in healthcare at the time, and I had people that just loved to work with me. And then finally at the end of the pregnancy, they were just like, would you please come around when the children are out? I mean, it was bad. And now I'm going after starting to work with Amy and read her books, but then some of the other things that we've talked about, I've gone through and gone back to my pregnancy and gone to my children in utero energetically and really apologized because my husband and I like got married early and we gave each other a high five and said, we're not going to have kids. And we moved on. I mean, it was like one of those beautiful conscious decisions that couples make. And then all of a sudden at age 30, I come back from Mexico after an all-inclusive and my son's here, which was awesome. By the way, hey, James. And then 5 years later, my daughter showed up. And it was one of those where, like, we didn't pull the goalie. They, like, wanted to come. And, I mean, I can go that, you know, they chose us and all that stuff. But I wanted to go back and I'd see my Zamboni sign and just like Zamboni and kind of clear it out, chop up the ice and get the warm water and then smooth it out with them and tell them that I love them and that I appreciate them. And mm-hmm. oh my gosh, if I would have done that sooner, but that's just beautiful. And how we react to that pregnancy. And you see these couples that are doing the unveiling and they've got the, you know, the pink cakes right. and the balloons and they're doing all of that. But privately, there are people that find out that they're with child and they have that honest response right. that might not always be high fives and rainbows and unicorns.
But you know what, Amy? You're giving people the opportunity to take responsibility.
Yeah.
And because how many people say, but that's over and there's nothing I can do about
it.
And I thought those things and I can't do anything about it. And you so can. And so you're giving these opportunities, these golden opportunities for people to correct it and to make yeah. things right, you know. So that's huge.
And to be
No, that's just a beautiful gift. Beautiful gift.
And also to be compassionate with themselves. Nobody did anything wrong. Right. We all have the feelings we have. So ladies, consider for a moment, babies born during COVID.
Yeah.
The fear had nothing to do with not wanting to be pregnant. It had to do with, oh my gosh, I have to go to the clinic. What if I get COVID? What if I have to get a vaccine? What about my baby? And now the baby's born with this constant conversation. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. What's the matter with me? I should know better. What's wrong with me? It was a fear of something wrong with the baby. And it's that same cellular imprint. So we really have an opportunity to get compassionate and recognize ancestral patterns when they come up. And just as Kelly said, take those new tools and take a little extra time to just go back and say, you know, I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. Nobody did anything wrong, but let's just look at this with new eyes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Beautiful.
Okay. So again, segment two, it's done. Like you guys, we got a little down a different path. It was funny. I was going to say a wrong path, but we didn't because it was just absolutely beautiful. And amazing. Okay, you guys, it is Kelly from Kelly and Brian here with Holly, here with Amy. We're going to talk about the summit now. I think we've been teasing long enough. That's the next segment. Okay, AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Edge Magazine. I mean, come on, you need it. We'll see you in a few. We're back without Brian. He normally helps me with our beautiful intros and exits, but you know what? Today's a new day. Miss him though. Okay, it is Kelly and Brian being curious. Oh my gosh, I love being curious here on AM 950. I'm with Holly. I'm with Amy. We've been teasing about this summit, but I'm gonna do another squirrel moment because right before we were prepping for the show, Amy on her website has this free eye quiz. I know. Who knew, right? And I took it. And Amy, like, before we got on air, she's like, are you a shaman? And I was like, mm-hmm. So tell me more. And I encourage everybody. And it's irigenics.com/eye quiz. Please take it because it's really fascinating. And I have brown eyes. And I always just thought, oh, I have brown eyes. It's okay. Like Holly has brown eyes. Like that's just, oh no, there's a lot going on in the eyes. So tell me how you developed this eye quiz that I really encourage everyone to go be curious about and explore. But then secretly tell me a little bit about the shaman one. Because, yeah, this was like, you know when someone's lying to you. And I went ding, 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 ding. Okay, go for it.
Okay, so I developed the quiz at the start of COVID when I thought we're not going to be able to take people's eye photos, right? We got COVID. We're not going to be able to do shows. Everything's shut down. And so the most things in the eyes have to be read very, very, very specifically. You can't cut and paste an eye reading. And I'm actually working on building a How to Read Your Own Eyes eye app for 23 that will be coming out. But for the eye quiz, there are basically five structures of the eyes that tell us a lot about your energetic pattern, your communication pattern, and really what were the intuitive gifts you gained from your ancestors. So Kelly's a shaman. She knows when you're lying to her. She specializes in nonverbal communication of whatever form, speaking with her body language.
No.
Also,
is this radio show a bad thing for me to do?
No, No. So she's very much like an aspen forest, right? Where all the trees are interconnected under the soil. So she picks up not just what people are thinking or feeling, but she also picks up planetary things going on, solar storms, military things we don't know anything about. So when Kelly's like, I am in a funk and I can't imagine why. I feel like I drank too much coffee and I haven't had any caffeine. I'm so jacked up. That's that feed she's on constantly. And so when I'm working with kids, this is oftentimes when kids get into suicide patterns. If you stop and say to them, is this your thought? They look at you like you got three heads. And they're like, just ask yourself, is this my thought? Is this my thought? No, my mind is saying, no, it's not mine. You're picking it up off of someone else. It's so important to clear your energy regularly throughout the day. Take a deep breath and just ask yourself, is this mine? Because it might not be. The shamans were people that had to move as one. They started in an origin of very high level esoteric training and healing abilities, and they had to be able to feel inside each other to feel the imbalance in order to heal it. They had to move as one, whether that was in hunting or whether because they were far away from their families and they had to know, I have to get home. There's a problem. They had this nonverbal communication that is really an amazing gift. If technology ever goes out, we're going to be looking for the shamans.
Whoop, whoop. So thank you. I read that and I just kind of giggled a little bit because I was like, yep, that's me. And that was just a picture of my eye. And I only did it in the mirror. So I didn't even do like a selfie and I didn't do the whole eye. Like that was just me going like that. And I think you were spot on. Tell us about your books, because your books are behind you. You have this beautiful series of books. And that's actually how we met is it Melissa Jolly Graves?
It was Melissa Jolly Graves.
Oh, we got to get her on. Like, oh my gosh.
Get her on.
What a force. Get her on. Just loved her. Okay, so tell us about the books.
So the Ancestors Within book series was born on January 6th of 2021. Some of you may remember that as being a newsworthy day at the White House. But that morning, I was doing my morning meditation, and it came to me that I was going to write a series of books about ancestral connection. Engage your ancestors, discover your ancestors, connect with your ancestors, celebrate your ancestors, honor your ancestors, embrace the gifts of your ancestors. And by noon that day, I was under contract with Brave Healer Productions for my first book. And by Friday, I had 20 authors lined up to be collaborative authors, and we were under contract for 4 books. So since January 6, 2021, that's less than 700 days, we have written 101 chapters of Ancestral Connection in 4 volumes. Each has its own theme. And each chapter has a free tool for you to start having your own interactive experiences with your ancestors. And then just to go with it is my favorite, the journals.
We brought the journals in. Like, I love it. We brought it in studio because I was like, Holly, we've got the journals, but I have this one. I have this one in studio.
You got the first one. And this is the second one that just came out last week. In fact, this is still the proof copy.
I love that tree.
This is my Irigenics logo.
Oh,
one of our
no wonder
artists,
I love
one of
it.
Our authors tooled it in leather and made a leather journal out of it.
Of course you did.
And his chapter was how to take leather and make your own book journal. So the journals are 52-week activity guides where you're meant to sit down with your family one night a week and read the prompt, see what's going on, and then you either do it together, like planting a family tree, gathering soil from your ancestors' lands and planting a tree at your home in that dirt, to making your own essential oil, to making a family ceremonial meal like what they would have made 100 years ago. So some of them are meant to be done together. Some are like channeling where you kind of each go off and do your own and come back the next week and talk about the experience. And to me, I tell you what, 52 weeks of any family going through these prompts, you will not be the same family at the end of the year. You will be so resilient, so bonded, so embracing and compassionate of each other. It's just a whole different world.
What a beautiful holiday gift. I'm watching Holly awesome. Here, who's like getting, she gets quiet when she's very thoughtful. And I'm like, we're on a radio show, like, right? And I'm just watching all of these beautiful things going around her. Like, that's just fantastic.
Well, bringing families together like that with so much understanding is just the most beautiful thing a family could do. you know, where you're not just tolerating each other, you're actually understanding each other and you're having that compassion for each other. And like you said, along with yourself. And how can that not be healing and a beautiful experience?
And celebrating the uniqueness of each other, the mosaic that makes the family, right?
Yeah.
So one person might go off and dream journal. The next one might go off and do artistic journaling. One might go off and do something in nature. You'll each bring in your own special nuance of what you do. And then you choose your favorite activity of the week. You journal it in the book and you hand this down to your great-grandchildren.
Here's
great-grandma reaching out to her ancestors, and here's what happened to her. Those are our ancestors, and here she is journaling about it. So you could do one a year. You could do one a family member. You could do it however you want to do it. If you want to do it in a separate journal book, you want to do it in a big artistic book where everybody's drawing. There's just so many options, and that was really the pulse of the Ancestors Within, which is now going to be a summit, a free summit online from November 7th to 11th. Where we're going to bring everybody into the 101 chapters, the 104 journal prompts, and walk them through a number of ways to start having interactive experiences.
I see this being in person in some time, by the way. Yes. I know it's online. I know it's free, but I'm like, I think it would be yummy and gooey and ooey to have it in person in some way, shape, or form. Just saying.
Well, next spring, we're talking about it. Oh, actually, nine of our authors are in Minnesota, just saying. I think nine are in Minnesota, nine are in Colorado, and the rest are scattered around the world. But we are talking about having a spring event where we do nature-based activities, like an actual activity summit next spring and early summer. And so it's got great possibility. We made the summit free for the 5 days because we want people to dive in and experience their ancestors. Starting in January on our Facebook page, the Ancestors Within Community, I'm going to start doing live streams each week with the prompt. It's going to take me 2 years to finish it. But for people who want someone to kind of guide them through the prompts and the activities, I'm going to start live streaming them through starting in January. Our summit is November 7th to 11th. 80 authors and artists, 101 chapters, all different ways to connect with your ancestors. There's going to be Christmas gifts. There's going to be free opt-ins. There's going to be free tools. And those who want to get an extended version can do that for just $9.99. And that will take them for 6 months access so they can start the new year with their ancestors and activities. And there's also a VIP package that also includes our 58-page interactive guide, 7 ways to create an interactive experience with your ancestors. It's full of videos and do-it-yourself and stories and, yeah.
How do they sign up for the summit?
They go to the ancestorswithin.com, and that will get them right to the registration page. Or they can go to illuminationstation.org, and that'll route them over to the Ancestors Within as well. So,
are you going to have like Q&As or anything like that so the authors can answer questions with people that might be attending the summit? Because you have some great authors, like Holly and I have both read some of your books, and like I get through a chapter and I'm like, ooh, I want to meet this person.
Right. Yeah. When I went back through and reread like through all the prompts and everything, I was just like, when I did all their podcasts. So there's going to be over 100 podcasts. There's master panels. There's going to be live streams. There's going to be ones doing training things. Like you said, there's going to be some Q&A, some opening ceremonies. I mean, it's Melissa Jolly Graves said, it's an experience, Amy. This is not a summit. This is an experience. And it ends on 11/11 because my grandpa was in World War I on the last day of the war in France. And he used to tell me, you know, at the 11th hour of the 11th day, he said, we were fighting across this field, shooting each other. And the word came that the war was over. And we all put down our guns and went across and hugged each other.
Aww.
And I would say, but grandpa, what about the last man? What if word had come 10 minutes sooner? Who would be here? What would be different in our world? What if it had come 10 minutes later? You know, that concept of the impact of one was so embedded in me from being a 7-year-old listening to my grandpa tell me that story every time. So we're going to have the summit till 11/11.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
And powerful. About it.
Very.
Okay, so tell me about, and I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, you have 9 Minnesota authors. Can you rattle their names off by...
Can I rattle them off?
Yep.
Right,
I
know.
I should. I was like, I should have prepped you for it, but I was like, let's. I mean, we're in Minnesota. This is the radio. You go for it.
All right, Melissa Jolly Graves.
Woo-hoo.
Carol Dutton.
Woohoo.
Jesse Barrientos.
I haven't met her, but I must.
Tatiana Rio Boaquin.
Woohoo.
Leah Skirdahl. I kind of count myself as a Minnesota.
Yeah, you count. You totally count.
Jill Sonic.
Okay.
And Claire Marie Cahoot, who actually sort of is across the river just a bit. I think she's just across in Hudson, but I still count her as a Minnesota author.
I was about to say, you know, there's kind of like a wiggly line.
Enough.
Right.
Yeah.
But if she's a Packer fan, then I guess we have to say that she, I'm just kidding. I'm not into football in any way, shape, or form.
I'm trying to think if I missed anybody. I believe Melissa's good friend, Crystal Lindquist, is also in Minnesota.
There you go. Yeah, so setting up
the two of them came in together. I'm pretty sure they're both there. And we've just had all these crazy wild connections between the authors, things we found about our ancestors and ties. And yeah, it's been just wild. You'll catch a lot of that in the books. Melissa wrote about that in book 4 quite extensively.
Melissa's amazing. She's a force. I mean, that's just the best way to describe her. I'm honored that I call her a friend and kin and just like the connection with her. And then I remember with Claire Marie, I was at an event and I think I went and I signed up for one of her services and I experienced her and I was like, oh, I know someone you need to talk to. You need to connect right away. Her name is Amy. You need to talk to her.
Well, and I think Holly has the red book. Yes. Did I see the red book on your table?
Yes. Holly has the red book.
So the red one, Melissa, her story took place in Mankato, Minnesota. And I'm reading her chapter when she submitted it for the book. And I was like, that's my Grandma Clara's brother's house. That's my Uncle Clayton's house on Washington.
Of course it is.
And the story was my cousin Christy. And Melissa didn't know it was my family. She didn't know that it was. Yeah. I mean, and it's that way through the entire series. We have these crazy... Yeah.
Beautiful intertwining and connections. Okay, you guys, I know it doesn't feel like it's been 48 minutes, but it has. We are wrapping up segment 3. Amy, how do people find you?
Best place is illuminationstation.org, because from there they can get to the summit. They can get to the eye reading. They can get to everything and anything. They can also find me at irigenics@gmail.com. That's the short route.
Beautiful. You guys, your eyes say so much about your body and so much about your life and so much about your ancestors. And they might clue you into a couple of the things that you're curious about in life. Well, on behalf of Holly and Amy and myself and Brian, because you know you can't forget Mr. Brian, it's Kelly. Being Curious with Kelly and Brian, AM 950. We are so grateful for you. We are so grateful for that you believe in us and that you listen to us and that you connect with us. And thank you. Edge Magazine. Oh my gosh, I always forget. Edgemagazine.net. Check it out. It's kind of cool. See you soon.